summary of the first three messages there, as I did last Sunday as well. Not going to spend much time on there, but in case you missed some of those, to kind of let you see where we're going. We have 10 points to the message, and we saw Hezekiah's character, his character before God, and his character before man, because that is important for us as well as we live before God and others. Then we saw how he cleansed the temple, and the people, the priests and Levites were there, and their worship before the Lord, and we must be clean as well to worship the Lord. And then the covenant that he made, the Bible says that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he made a decision to stand for what was right. He didn't look for what was popular opinion or politically correct. He did that which was right and made a promise and a covenant with God. And then we looked at the commandment that he gave to the people for reconciliation, for atonement, and the singing that was there as they worshiped the Lord. And of course, there must be cleansing in our hearts and lives before there can be worship that's accepted by the Lord. And then we come to the celebration that they had with the Passover and prayer and his chambers. That's where they kept all the money, the storehouse were for giving. And we had a little bit to say about giving and how we give to the Lord, even as they gave to the Lord there with Hezekiah. Then we looked at his challenger, which was Sennacherib. And we saw last week that we have challenges that we face in our lives, usually not kings like Sennacherib, but challenges of doubt and threats and deceit and pride and fear, things that challenge our faith to cause us to grow in the Lord. And then we looked at his counsel, and we know the Bible says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors, and Hezekiah had surrounded himself with some godly men. And that's what we need to do when we have to make decisions. We certainly have the Holy Spirit within us, and he guides us through his word, but it helps to have godly counsel as well. And then we saw last week the comforting that he had, as he had strength and courage, and both of those things are used in encouragement there that we use for comforting others. And so tonight we come to Hezekiah's consequences. Because of all of these things he did, the character he had, we're going to see some things that develop in his life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll see some of the consequences of his life. Father, thank you for godly men like Hezekiah. Lord, we know that there's none that is sinless except for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that Paul tells us, as he told Timothy, that we're to be an example of what a believer should be. And we thank you that Hezekiah was. Pray that you would help us, that we would be as well. Teach us these things from Hezekiah's life so that we can be faithful for you as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first thing we see, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we're beginning with verse 20, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. It says, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven." And verse 21 says, "And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face." That's talking about Sennacherib, the king of Assyria there. So the first thing we see, because of his dedication, he was delivered from his enemies. And we don't have enemies exactly the way he did, but he was delivered from his enemies. And one of the things that helped him, if you notice in verse 20, he had a friend. And his friend was the prophet Isaiah. You know, and friends are wonderful to have, especially godly friends, because they are companions in faith. And his friend Isaiah was there to help him, and they even prayed together here. Isaiah, you remember, without looking at his book a lot, you remember from chapter 6, where as the Lord appeared to him, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." But then he later said, "Here am I, send me." And so here was a man, Isaiah, that was sensitive to the Lord's convicting in his life and then was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. And here he was praying with Hezekiah here as they go together and pray. So his companion was Isaiah. His cry was to God. They're praying together. It's a wonderful thing to have friends with whom we can pray. Not just on Wednesday night and other times when we pray, but just getting together with friends and praying and asking God to meet needs. But then we see his captain was an angel. He sent an angel in verse 21 to take care of him. The Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor. And Hezekiah is actually called a captain of God. Angel, this word has to do with being an ambassador for someone, representing someone else. And so God sends his angels, his ambassadors, to represent him. Now, we're not angels in that sense, but we are messengers, aren't we? And God has sent us to be ambassadors and to use us to help gain victory for other people. And that's what the angel did for Hezekiah. And it's a wonderful thing where we can be a tool in God's hand as somebody else is facing challenges, and we can minister to them and help them get encouragement and victory, and God can use us as a messenger for his glory. It would be a wonderful thing that we could do. It tells us in verse 21 that the enemy ended up with shame of face. Remember that phrase. We'll come back to it as we get to the end of the chapter here. God's enemies always end up that way, with shame of face. We don't need to be ashamed, do we? We're not to be ashamed to walk with God, to associate with godly people like Hezekiah did with Isaiah, not to be afraid to pray to God, not to be ashamed of those things here. And we see because of that, Hezekiah was delivered from his enemies. The next thing we see, one of the consequences in verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. God guided them in battle. And that was another consequence because Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord. He looked to godly counsel whenever he needed to make decisions. And we have battles on every side too, don't we? Maybe you have battles at work with the jobs you have. Maybe you have battles at work with the co-workers you have. Like the sign I saw one time in someone's store, I went in and had a sign up there and it says, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you work with a bunch of turkeys, you know, that kind of thing. And so maybe they were having trouble here at the workplace. Maybe we have battles with the flesh, and we all do, because when we get saved, God doesn't take away the sinful nature. It's still there. And so these battles are going on within us, from maybe relationships. We have battles that we face. But here it says that God guided them on every side. And God will guide us. God guides us through his word by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And we can look to him to guide us as well. Well, let's look at the third consequence of Hezekiah's faithfulness to the Lord in verse 23. It says, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah. Now, that might seem a little bit worldly for us to emphasize here that one of the consequences there of Hezekiah's godliness was he was rewarded by men. People came and they brought him presents there. Gifts, it says in verse 23, that has to do with tributes that they gave to God. And then they gave precious things to Hezekiah as well. You know Luke 6:38, I don't have the entire verse up here, but Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given to you. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so there's the principle, and Hezekiah did that. He was a giver. He was a faithful man. Also, Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so as we live, as we saw earlier, our lives before God and our lives before man, and people see our good works, and then they glorify God the Father. Because they brought gifts to God, here in verse 23 as well. They brought gifts to the Lord and presents to Hezekiah. And one more verse, well known, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Did Hezekiah do that? He certainly did. And all these things were added to Hezekiah. Doesn't mean that God's going to make us wealthy according to this world standards. If we do that, it's not a wealth gospel that some people preach here. But Hezekiah was rewarded by men for his faithfulness to God. Well, look at the second part of verse 23. It says, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations. He was magnified in the sight of all nations. And so another thing we see about Hezekiah was that he was respected by the unsaved. And as we live our lives for the Lord, we live them before God, and we want to be pleasing to him. We also live our lives before believers, and we want to be an example of the believer. But we also live our lives before unsaved people as well. And here's Hezekiah, and all the nations watched him as well. And they saw a man who was not with shame of face, like Sennacherib. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, that is, without the church, without salvation. We're to walk in wisdom towards them, because as people watch our lives and they're unsaved, we want them to come to know the Lord. And we don't want the way that we're living to contradict the message that we're giving them and turn them away from the gospel. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. We have an obligation to the world to live godly. We have an obligation to God to live godly too, of course, because he's the one who saved us. But the world is watching us. Now, they don't get saved just because they watch us. They must hear the word of God. It's the word of God that changes lives, not our example. But we certainly don't want to be a negative influence, because Paul said to the Corinthians, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So people are reading our lives like they read a book. And they looked at Hezekiah, and here was a man who was faithful to God, who loved God, and they rewarded him for it, and he was respected, even of unsaved people. That's in verse 23. Now go to verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death. He prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Another thing we're going to see as a consequence of Hezekiah is that he was healed. He was healed from his disease. Hold your place there and go to 2 Kings chapter 20. And you probably are familiar with this story of Hezekiah being sick. In 2 Kings chapter 20, begin at verse 8. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, remember, they were companions, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken, that the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees. Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. He brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And so that was a sign to him that God was going to extend Hezekiah's life. Now, God does heal. Aren't you glad that we have a God who still heals people? He doesn't heal everyone. Obviously, nobody would be dead if he healed everyone. But there are a couple of verses that we can see concerning this. In James 5:15, it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord shall raise him up. It wasn't the prayer. It's the Lord who does it. He'll use prayer, but the Lord raises him up. If he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so the Lord still heals people today. We pray, not just on Wednesday nights, but especially Wednesday nights when we have our prayer requests. A lot of the requests we have are for physical needs. And we pray for those things because God hears, he answers prayer, he removes cancer, he removes other things, and sometimes he doesn't. We'll see those as well. We see that here with the Apostle Paul. Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he says, I besought the Lord
three times. He said, I pray, God, will you take this thing? Will you heal me from this? And God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so here was the Apostle Paul. And he asked God to heal him, and God said, no, that's not what I had for you. Now, was it because Paul didn't have enough faith? I wouldn't say that. I think Paul probably had more faith than any of us here. Paul was a man of great faith. And God responds to faith, because the Bible says without faith, in Hebrews, it's impossible to please God. But even if we have faith and trust God, as Paul was doing, sometimes God says, that's not what I have for you. I have something else for you. And he says, but my grace will be there to help you. And my grace is sufficient. And you will be able to have my strength through you more with this infirmity than you would if I took it away. And so Paul says, therefore, I will gladly serve the Lord with this if God can get more glory. And that's the right attitude that we need to have. And God may decide to heal, as he did Hezekiah, for a period. Hezekiah is not with us, so eventually he went to be with the Lord. And so we see that God gives healing sometimes as a result of faithfulness to him, according to his will. All right, next. He was humbled for his pride. Hezekiah started to get a little bit of a big head, as we would say in verse 25. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit alone unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. But he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And so he was proud of his possessions. Again, going back to where we were in 2 Kings chapter 20, he was really wealthy. God had blessed him so much with financial means. And in 2 Kings 20, verse 15, he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And he had many treasures, and he was proud that he had so much financial gain. And God began to humble him. And God will often do that, won't he? Well, we saw one of his companions was Isaiah. And we see that Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. There's not a lot of pride in that statement, is there? Here was Isaiah, a man of God, who was humble, and God used him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, I am the chief of sinners. What humility is there? I mean, Paul was a great missionary. He did a lot for the Lord. Probably more so than any person since the Lord Jesus. But Paul wasn't full of himself because of that. He was humble. Gideon said, I am the least in my father's house. And look how God used Gideon there. And anyone who has ever been great in God's eyes has been little in his own eyes. Whenever we start to think that we are something, that God can really use me because I have this amount of money or this amount of education or this much experience, it's not because of any of those things that God uses us, is it? It's because of his grace. And we realize that anything we have and anything we are is because of the grace of God. That keeps us humble. And Hezekiah, he slipped out of that for a little while. But then God brought him back to the humility, realizing that it was God who had placed him. It's promotion, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. And Hezekiah began to realize that. Then we go on to the next verse.
verse 27, we see he was rewarded for his faithfulness. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. He made himself treasuries for silver and for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beast, and cotes or stalls or dens for the flocks. Verse 29, moreover, he provided him cities, possessions of flocks and herds, and abundance, for God had given him substance very much.
God gave him a lot of things there. And sometimes, you know, God will give some believers a lot of financial gain. Sometimes he won't give very much. But no matter how much God has given to us, he hasn't given us anything. He's loaned it to us. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. And so he was rewarded for his faithfulness here in verses 27 through 29.
Galatians 6:9.
I think I have it up here. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, as Hezekiah did. There'll be a reward. We'll gain if we faint not. And Hezekiah didn't. Even when he slipped into pride and thought he was so great because everything he had, God humbled him and brought him low again, and then he was rewarded for that. He was prosperous in his work
as well. Verse 30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works there. Hezekiah, he was very diligent. He was a hard worker. He was also very creative. He was industrious here in building this water system here. 2 Kings chapter 20 once again. In verse 20, it says, and the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah there? And so this pool that it mentions, the pool of Siloam there, that fed water into the city by a conduit from the spring of Gihon there, he constructed it. And as he did this, he was doing so with a vision of future attacks coming on the city by Assyria there. And so he had a vision. And this thing was a third of a mile long. And so it still is there today. It's in a museum there. And it gives credit to Hezekiah, who built this. And so here he was, very diligent and industrious, creative. Proverbs says, he becometh poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And here he was, working hard, using what God had given him. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And here he was, bearing rule over all of Israel. His father was a wicked man. His son, who comes on the throne next, was a wicked man. But here's Hezekiah, who was diligent and honored the Lord. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. God blesses diligence. God blesses hard work. God doesn't want us to be on some kind of welfare system and entitlement program. God's system for welfare is the church, for God's people to take care of God's people there. A couple of more. Hezekiah's consequences. He was tried or tested in his heart. Verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent to him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart.
There were some outward signs of Hezekiah's faithfulness. His friends, Isaiah as one of them, was a demonstration that he was godly because he chose godly friends and prayed with them. He had physical healing. That was another outward sign that God had blessed him. He had the respect of unsaved people. That was another outward sign that God had blessed him. But here it says in verse 31 that God was going to try him to see what was in his heart. We know that the Bible teaches us that God does not tempt us to sin like Satan does. But oftentimes God will try our hearts as he does Hezekiah here. It's like whenever they finish building a new bridge. They don't send the first vehicle over it to see if it's going to hold up. You know, who wants to be driving that one to see, okay, you take this big truck and you go over and let's see if it holds you up. And no, if you have any doubt, I'm not going. Well, that's not why the Lord tests us. When they test the new bridge, they do so to prove that it holds the weight. It's good. It will work. And God does that for us as well. And so God is trying the inward part of Hezekiah, because what we are is more important than what we do. And Hezekiah did a lot of wonderful things, and God honored him for it. But it was because of his heart and what he was within. And then from without came those things that honored God. Then we come to the last thing as we finish up this portion. He was honored in his death, beginning at verse 32 and then the last verse of the chapter. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, that is his kindnesses, behold, they're written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. They did him honor. They gave him an honorable burial, and they gave him an honorable eulogy after he died, and they said, boy, what a godly man. What a great leader. Hezekiah has done so much for us. Saved people look to him. The ungodly, they look to him with respect there. Well, in contrast, going back once again to what I mentioned earlier with Sennacherib, it says in verse 21, he returned with shame of face, and then they slew him there with the sword. And so here the chapter ends. The life of Hezekiah ends with a funeral. And unless the Lord comes and takes us in the rapture, that's the way we all end, isn't it? With a funeral. That's encouraging. I'm going to tell you, you're getting ready to die there, but we know that. But the question is, do I go out with dignity and honor like Hezekiah? Or do I go out with shame of face like Sennacherib? And God wants us to be a people that honors him. A lot of people, they want all these consequences of Hezekiah. You know, they want to have, to be delivered from their enemies and guided in battle and rewarded by man and respect of unsaved and to be healed from their sickness and to be humble and faithful and prosperous. And they want all these things, all the consequences. But getting back to where it says at the beginning of Hezekiah's life, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's what God honors. And God honored Hezekiah because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he encouraged the people to do it as well, and he led them to do what was right. And so there's the life of Hezekiah and his rule over Israel. Remember that his father was an ungodly king. His son was an ungodly king. And so we don't have to let our family background, our heritage, our surroundings, none of those things have to affect our godliness.
Here was Hezekiah, who loved God and wanted to serve him, and he did that which was right, and God blessed him for it. Now, we may not have all of these blessings in this life, but God will be honored if we live a life like Hezekiah and do that which was right in the sight of the Lord and cleanse ourselves before the Lord and worship him as Hezekiah encouraged the people to worship the Lord. Let's pray.